like, well,
maybe director or something.
Me fire if we can catch you run out tonight.
Actually, I'm not sure how this message will be tonight, but I came back to some of Pastor Matti's thoughts from the conference. Because we spoke with Jason also before the meeting here that God is so unbelievably good. And when we say good, we mean something totally different than when the Bible says good. When we say good, it usually means that something that's good to me. Right? I say somebody is good because they did something that felt good for me, and that's a good person. But God's goodness is something totally different. It's an absolute objective goodness that has been there forever. He is good even when he does things that I don't like. And his goodness doesn't depend on whether I think that he is good or not. I think I catch myself many times that I actually care about people's opinions about me. Do they think that I'm kind? Do they think that I have done the right thing? Do they think whatever? But God doesn't care. He loves everyone, but his goodness is not perceived by other people. That's not the main point. Yeah. Pastor Matti said this, that God's goodness is what really reveals him to us. And many times we deal with disappointments in life because things don't happen the way we think they should. So then maybe we question if God is good or not. But see, I get stuck. Yeah, I know. I see. There's growth. That was one point. That when we are disappointed, it's an opportunity to grow in our relationship. Grow deep in the roots. And I was thinking that there's a different kind of growth in the natural life. What we need to grow in this world is to be able to take care of ourselves. He spoke about it also a little bit, that I learned from young age that nothing is for free in the world. Everything costs either money or time or effort, energy, but nothing is for free. And the older we get, as a child, the older we get, the more we need to work to get things. And that's very, it's a consequence of sin, actually. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, God said to them, to Adam, the earth is cursed for your sake. That's a very good thought there too. Some person that I listen to means it's not that the earth is cursed because of you, but the earth is cursed for your sake. and he meant by that that since man has lost his relationship with God, it is for man's own benefit that he has to work hard, and that keeps him out of trouble in a way. He has to put his time into doing something. But what I was going to speak about is that his disdevelopment in natural life, where man has to be tough and hard and earn his way, earn respect, earn his living, And it seems that the more successful people are, the harder they get in their hearts. I have heard it so many times, why should I believe in God when everything I have worked for, everything I have gotten for myself. God has never helped me. And then we see something else in the growth of a Christian. We grow in grace and knowledge. Mm. That's in 2 Peter. Maybe I will find it for you. But growing in grace means, well, when I got saved, I had some understanding about God's grace. That's a favor that I haven't earned. But then I need to grow in that grace. And it means that I will apply the grace principle in my life in more areas. I think this is something that causes difficulties for many Christians, because we think also that I should be able to make it on my own. I can ask God, of course, when it's something that I really can't take care of, something that goes beyond my abilities. Then it's okay to ask for help. But come on, if it's my own everyday life, mm-hmm. I need to be able to keep it together mm-hmm. somehow. But I see that God wants us to grow in grace. Mm-hmm. And I give an example, and then maybe we'll see where we end up. When God takes the people of Israel from Egypt, where they had everything they needed, they were taking care of themselves, they were growing their own vegetables, they had their cattle, and they were working for Pharaoh for free. And then God takes them to the wilderness and he gives them manna from heaven the entire time. And that's not all. But this is quite interesting, isn't it? The people of God is taken care of by God himself. The world would say, no, 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 if you want to eat, you have to work. Mm-hmm. But God gives bread from heaven. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, like, it's so easy to be legalistic and have that legalism in my relationship with God, isn't it? And it takes away God's grace from my life, because I don't even think about it. I say, no, I have to be able to, because whatever. But God gives food to his people. I don't say that this is what he does all the time for everyone, but it's just worth a thought. God gives manna. It comes down like rain from the sky every morning. And what's interesting about it is that they cannot keep what they get, because the next day it would get stale. Mm-hmm. What it teaches me is that God's grace is new every day. His mercies are new every morning. And we don't get that grace so that we would have a nice memory that I can tell my children, you know, yeah, when I was 35, I got God's grace once. Yep. I can still remember. But it comes every day. Every day. And it's not bad, it's not wrong to be needy in that way. Mm-hmm. That was the only provision that these people mm-hmm. had, the manna for them. And I don't think that God was unhappy about it. He just had to say, oh, okay, there's no food again today, so I just have to give you, okay? But tomorrow you better go hunting, because it cannot continue like this. You need to grow up. That's not what he said. But this is our lifestyle, isn't it, that we receive grace from him, and grace for grace, and more grace. And then, as if that wouldn't have been enough, At the end of those years in the wilderness, he takes them into a country where they will get everything that they did not work for. Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny? He says you will have houses that you did not build. Mm-hmm. You will have vineyards ready for you. Mm-hmm. Fruit and all those things will be yours. It's unbelievable. My brother's, Yuri's favorite Bible character was Isaac. Mm-hmm. And he just mentioned it to me a couple of times that, well, we don't read much about Isaac and maybe we don't think too much about him. But we know the life of Abraham, how he walked by faith and left his country and went to the place which was appointed by God. He dug wells, and that's also, when you talk about roots, you know, going deep to the source. Abraham had wells, and he had fresh water. Isaac, all he did, he just inherited everything from his father, and he was enjoying it all his life. He had to fight a few times to defend those wells from the enemy. Yeah. And that's like us, isn't it? God has given us everything in Christ. There are wells, there are these deep roots. There's a source of life where we can draw. Mm-hmm. And we need to keep it. We need to be close to it. And it's all by grace. I didn't have to work for it. I didn't have to do much about it. But I know that it's a blessing, and I'm going to keep it. Let's read a little Bible also, because I think it's just right. But first of all, 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. And now I go to 1 John. Chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And this is an unbelievable thought, really. God is love, and when we see how He loves us, we understand what kind of love He has. We understand love. Goodness, not those human ideas that we have about it, but who God is. We mentioned it to Sheston also before we started eating, that if we look back at God's work in our lives, if we see His patience, if we see His answers, if we see the gentle way how he has dealt with us, it's very easy to see the picture who He is. God is not weak, but He is gentle with us. God is love, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. And I think how I imagine it is like this, that we have known, and then we believe now also. We have gotten to know God's love because of all the things that we have gone through together. And what it does is that it helps me to believe and trust that love for the future. It's not only that I believe that God is love theoretically, but I know He is. And this has become something very important in my life. And verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. When God's love fills us, then we have incredible boldness. When I think about my future, when I think about death, for example, when I think about standing before God, I have boldness because I have gotten to know His love. I know that His love is deep. His love is unchanging. It's not like I feel reassured today, and tomorrow he might change his mind. But his love is always the same. And when we see, this was my prayer a few days ago, that I would really like to see God loving us in action. Because I think when we see it, when we see God's love, it gives us boldness for more. Not just when I think about my judgment at the end, but boldness to ask for things. We need an apartment, and we can pray boldly. Peter needs a job. We can pray with boldness. I don't have to. My sin doesn't even come to mind when I come to God in prayer. When I have understood His love, His grace, I know that the way He deals with me does not depend on my condition, so to say, sinfulness, or if I have messed up. It doesn't matter, because God's love is deeper than that. It's more than that. So love is made perfect because we have boldness. And I would say not just in the day of judgment, but in everyday life. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. One translation says that fear has to do with punishment. And many times Christians struggle with this idea. Maybe we struggle also. When I do right, when I'm fine, I know that God loves me. But when I have made a mess of things, then I'm expecting His punishment to come. And maybe we say, no, okay, it's not punishment, it's chastisement. It's just correction. But there has to be some consequence for my sin. And maybe, but maybe not. I like this story also, when Moses takes his wife to Egypt. And he says, do you remember, Pastor Sheryl quoted this sometime? He spoke about God's loyalty, how God is loyal. He has chosen a side. And in this story, Abraham goes to Egypt. And then he says to Sarah, I have a feeling that Pharaoh will see you, that you are too beautiful, and he will take you from me. And when that happens, you have to lie that you are my sister, so that I wouldn't die. And they do it. Pharaoh's not really come. It's funny also that sometimes our worst fears come to life.
Mm-hmm.
And they came and they took her, and she said, yeah, I'm his sister. And then we might think, the man of God, I mean, this is just so disappointing. I mean, come on, he should be a godly person. He shouldn't lie. He shouldn't put his wife into that situation. I don't know, he should fight for her and die fighting if he had some honor, or I don't know what he should do. But that's what happened. And then God's loyalty is that he comes to Pharaoh and says, you have taken somebody else's wife. And the Pharaoh says, but I didn't. And God says, you're a dead man. You're going to die. And then he comes back quickly to Abraham, and then God says to Abraham, pray. And Pharaoh had to give him gifts. And can you imagine really that God takes Abraham's side? That's unbelievable. That's incredible. He did wrong. Don't you understand? He did wrong. But God's goodness, it's, I don't know, I don't remember. I don't remember, don't quite understand. But this is what it means, I think, that when we understand the love of God, we get confidence, we get boldness. I'm not afraid that He's going to judge me. I know that He's on my side. And that doesn't happen only once, but it happens a second time. It's not in Egypt, but with another person called Abimelech, is it? I mean, he does it the second time, and the result is the same. God gets involved and protects them. I just, I don't know what to say. We need deep roots. We need to grow in our relationship with God. Sometimes we go through disappointments, but we know that the phrase that God is good doesn't mean that what he will do will feel good to me, but it means that he is really, in his essence, good, and nothing can change that. So when I'm disappointed, I dig down, I go to my well, and I'm going to draw from it. And that's doctrine, that's deep truth that cannot be changed. And love casts out fear. We love him because he first loved us. And then the great revolution that God's love brings in the next verse, if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar, for he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? It will be crystal clear when I have seen God's love, I have believed, I have known and I've believed God's love, then it will be very obvious what's less than that. There are so many human relationships. I talked to somebody today and she said, I was in a relationship for 18 years and I thought it was love. Then I met something and I see that it wasn't love at all. I don't know, there are so many, many different stories in the world, but my point is that when we have seen God's love, when we have seen how he loved us without conditions, pure, clean, then it becomes obvious that we need to love each other just the same. It's impossible that I receive God's perfect love and I would hate my own brother. It's just not going to happen. It's not possible. So I think I'm going to finish here. Just like that. Oh, I'm sorry, this was the end. That,
Reach is good.
Yes. Okay, I'm just sharing my thoughts.
Yeah, we have more that, capacity than that.
Yes, I know. Still with Pastor Matti, he mentioned that we need abstract thinking. In disappointment, especially, I need to be able to think outside of my own little world. I need to be able to think outside of the here and now. Now I didn't get what I want. Here in this situation I'm hurting. But God is something more. And that's,
praise God.
Like that's how he spoke about growing, or I would say, you know, digging deeper, drawing from the well that's deep down there. And that's to know. The Bible says, I looked up some of these verses, God is good. It says in the Bible. So, maybe I can find it again. And that's an absolute truth. I cannot change it. Nothing changes it. So, if I don't feel like it, I can just go to this truth. I have dug a well. Psalm 73, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are of a clean heart. And there was a man who said to me, well, I don't have a clean heart, so God is not good to me. But then there's another one. I'm sorry, I'm there now. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Then another one, if I find it. Hundred 136, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what I was looking for. Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Isn't that something? The Lord is good to all. And we know, we live in an age of grace right now, when God has given time and he turns the blind eye on sin for a while, because he is not willing that people would perish, but that everybody would get saved. I like it that the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. One of our pastors in Hungary gave an interesting thought to me. He said, have you noticed that there are some bad people who seem to be successful and happy on this earth? It seems not only that they have everything, but they are truly happy with it. How is that possible? And he says, I know this is a bit of a wild idea, but I just think like this. God loves everybody, even those who are not going to get saved. Maybe it sounds crazy, but he just wants to bless those people with those things that they do receive. And that was an interesting thought to me. But the point is, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So then he says, all your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. Maybe other people won't bless God, only his saints. But he is nevertheless good to all. So, I just feel that maybe I just speak for myself, that there's a process, at least in my own life, where I feel that I get more and more stupid in my thinking. Like my attention span is shorter, and my memory is shorter, my patience is shorter, and my thinking is less developed. Maybe I'm not able to see bigger contexts sometimes. And I think this is, when I have spoken to other people, it seems to me that it's something that's happening in many Christians' lives, and definitely in the world. And what I expect is that we when we go back to the source, we go to the wells that are dug, the roots that go deep, then we get refreshed. And we need these times, maybe when life doesn't go the way we would like it to go, when we are disappointed with God or with ourselves, and we don't understand what's happening, and then God says, I want you to think, you know, have long suffering, have humility, and go to the Word and dig, and you will find something there. I think we don't want to be superficial, but I feel that there's something happening that makes us more more superficial. And we need to, I don't know what verse to use, it's not that we need to, but God is going to take us to that place where we will go to the roots, and we understand what we need to understand. one thing that I systematically do is that I listen to a message in the morning. And what's crazy for me is that maybe 2 hours later I don't remember anything. And it worries me sometimes, because we need to be filled. We know it's the Word. We know it's the thoughts of God that give life. So.
Pastor Stephen said once that we should do the message 10 times, please.
Mm-hmm.
What? 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Stephen.
Yeah. So,
so once or twice, is it okay?
Yeah. But I also noticed something else, that I often feel tired, and I think it also has to do with the fact that there's not enough input. Sometimes when we do have Friday evening Bible school, when I pray with somebody, when we have more input of the Word, I don't feel as tired. It's so funny. It's not only the body. It's not even only the soul, but the whole man, body, spirit, soul is really interconnected. I'm done.
I've been waiting for.
Yeah.
Charlie was